Morning. Welcome this morning. A couple announcements this morning. Men's Bible study Sunday, or Wednesday, men's Bible study, Tom 7:30, Friday Bible study here at the church, 7 o'clock. Sunday school and adult Bible study is at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11. Are there any other announcements? Are there any prayer requests? And continued prayers for Dennis Hillen's family. This time, I believe they'll be streaming the funeral service, but I don't actually know.
May
15th. Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's still a little ways away. Any prayer requests? All right, well, Flint will read the psalm this morning for us, and Tom will say the prayer and bring the message. Can we begin?
The psalm for today is Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all the judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people. He praise all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of grace. Father, we come to you this morning with a prayer of thanksgiving. Thankful to be in the local body of believers, the bride of Christ. Thankful for having sustenance, not only for our physical body, but for our spiritual body. Thankful for the ability to look up and see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To recognize that we are His. And He is ours. To understand through that Spirit that we have a future that is bright, that is beautiful, that is holy, and that is totally of you. To understand that you are controlling all things. And you are allowing things for our good. Because we are carnally evil. Naturally evil. But we are also beautiful as saints. because of the work of the cross. Father, we come to you this morning in the day before an election where we know that whoever is elected is ordained of you. And it will work out for good for those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. We know that you know the future. And we know that whatever happens, happens for a reason. And it's because you willed it. And as we look on today, for this is the day the Lord hath made, we rejoice like the psalmist in 148. Rejoice in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so we can defend ourselves, and any arrows from the devil can be thwarted through that armor. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the believers we have here, the saints, the bride of Christ. We thank you for the ability to worship you in a free country, to worship God, the Father, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, through that Holy Spirit. We recognize and we understand that it's only through him that salvation is given. We recognize and understand that the world will teach us differently. But we know, because it's been placed in our hearts, that there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus and through the work of the cross. We thank you for this way. We thank you for the light. We thank you for the abundant mercy and grace that through the work of the cross, Father, and we thank you for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be granted unto you this hour of worship through that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. Terry, can I get a light on the subject? Thanks. We can turn our Bibles to chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. Well, that's a light. And we're going to read it from the 19th to the 31st. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut, like that one just was, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he shewed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. This chapter is full of his glory. If we look the first part of the chapter 20, Jesus is resurrected. And it says from 11 on, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. If we look at this, she sees two angels, one sitting at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laid. And then she presumes he's the gardener, and Jesus answers her and says in the 16th, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turns herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto him, Touch me not, for I am not ascended unto my Father, but to my brethren. And if I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. She's seen something magnificent here, and I've mentioned this before, the two angels. If you read in Chronicles 13:6, and if you read in Exodus 25:17-22, there's the Ark of the Covenant is there, and the comparison of this is so beautiful, of the two angels basically in at this reading, one at the head, one at the foot, and it's describing the Ark of the Covenant the same way as the actual physical Ark. There's what's in the Ark. The Ark has the jar of manna, the bread of life, which is Christ. It also has the staff that budded, Aaron's staff, which produced all the miracles, which Jesus in the New Testament is representative of producing all the miracles, and the tablets of the law, which Christ had fulfilled. So Mary is seeing a picture in this of the Old Testament, which was the Ark of the Covenant. It's a very, very beautiful picture of what she sees. And then we get into the text here. Jesus appears to his disciples. And like Dave mentioned last week, he mentioned, you know, it's kind of like the women didn't really have much of a reception as far as the disciples believing the women. But it is interesting when Jesus appears to his disciples and what he says and how he says it. We'll start at 19. Then the same day at evening, so it's the evening, Sunday evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews. We have a problem already. They were in fear. Fear of the Jews. Can you imagine being tutored by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 3 years? And your anticipation of him being the king of this earth instead of the king of heaven, not understanding that he's not meant to be the king of this earth as far as having an earthly kingdom, but an eternal kingdom. And he's slain on a cross, and he dies, and now they're without him. Would we not all have fear? And the Holy Ghost did not indwell the 12. They did not stay there. It hadn't come yet. But Jesus is saying one thing. He's saying, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut and disciples were assembled for fear the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saying to them, peace be unto you. You would think that would be the last thing he would be saying to them. They were fearful. They thought their lives were in danger, in which they were. He says, peace be unto you. In Philippians, in the fourth chapter, like the psalm today, rejoice. It says, rejoice in the Lord, in the fourth verse, always. And again, I say rejoice. Do you have joy or delight in your heart? That's what rejoice means. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Moderation in things. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. What is he saying? Be bold. But in everything, we pray and we supplicate and we give thanks and we let our requests be known to God. Why? Because we have access now. Because the veil was rent in two. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your minds and your hearts through Christ Jesus. So when he says, peace be unto you, it means more than just peace. It means peace be unto you. And understand this, you are mine. You have the right to be bold. You don't have to be careful because you have that Holy Spirit that guides and directs you. You'll be moderate, or you will have self-control and have temperance because that Holy Spirit will come. And the peace will cause you to have understanding and keep your hearts and minds through Christ. It'll also cause you to pray and to supplicate and make requests to God through that Spirit. So he says, peace be unto you. And when he had said, he shewed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. Notice, faith by sight. When they saw the Lord, they were glad. And then said Jesus unto them, My peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. We have work to do. The Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28. Verses 16 to 20. Jesus gives the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples, notice Judas isn't here, there's only 11, went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. The Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching men to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. The 20th verse is a promise. How is Jesus promising them that he'll be with them always when he's going to go to the right hand of the Father? Because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit descending on them, will still be with them through that Holy Spirit. So he will be with them always. He gives the Comforter. So we have a peace that passes understanding. You should be at peace through the worst times, most fearful times, and peace that prays to God, supplicates to God, and asks God for help. And what happens? And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto him, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Did they receive the Holy Ghost here? Yes, they received the Holy Ghost. Was it received in measure? What does John say in chapter 3, verse 34? Speaking of Christ, it says, For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. And I believe he does not give the Spirit by measure unto us. He gives us it to us entirely. So they received the Holy Spirit here. What are examples of receiving the Holy Spirit? In Luke chapter 1, verse 15. I'll start at 12. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Again, fear. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. When the John the Baptist received the Holy Ghost, his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. You shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, and turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Basically, Zacharias is being explained, and Elizabeth are getting the explanation of the Holy Spirit indwelling in John the Baptist and his role in the ministry. He's preparing a way for Christ to come, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Luke 1:41. I'm trying to show examples of when the Spirit came. And it came to pass that, we'll start at 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So this is Mary, the Virgin Mary. She's pregnant, and she's saluting Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. Even by the power of Mary's baby, Jesus Christ, in the womb, that the fact that the baby Jesus was in the womb, that power was received by John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did she say? She spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." She was able to say this to encourage Mary that the Lord is in your womb. Jeremiah 1, the prophet Jeremiah. There it is. Read 4 and 5. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So Jeremiah received the Holy Spirit in the womb, and his role was to be a prophet and to prophesy Jesus. In full measure of the Holy Spirit. And Acts, which is a few pages, chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire," baptism of fire, "and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This was not a language that people could not understand. We've got to remember there was 12 different languages spoken here, and it says that. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." What were the languages? "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying, one of the other, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" Isn't there only Hebrew and Greek? Why are they speaking my language? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Libya, Cyrene, Cretes, and Arabians." Notice here there are 12 apostles, because at the beginning of chapter 1, it talks about Matthias being added to 12 apostles, 12 tongues. How many languages are today? 7,000. If there was 12 apostles and this happened today, and there was 12,000 languages, 12 millions of people, and the 12 apostles spoke, they would hear it in their languages. Even though there is only 12 here, today there's 7,000. If there was 12, every person there would hear it in their own language, even though it was 7,000. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. There's a reason why what happens in John is being taught here. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. He sends them out so that they can actually preach. They need the Holy Spirit here, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And then it says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. What does John 3:16 say? We should all know that verse. I'll read 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's through the salvation of Christ that the world is saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Whosoever sins you're remitted, they're remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you're retained, they are retained. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you believe that he resurrected from the dead, you believe that he dwells in Christians today through the Holy Spirit, and you believe that there was 500 witnesses that saw him, and you believe that he dwells in your heart through that Holy Spirit, you're saved. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Son of God, then you will receive the wrath of God because you don't believe. It's as simple as that. Your sins are retained because of unbelief. We don't believe what the Word says. Your sins are put on Christ because you do believe. All of your sins are put on Christ. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And he's trying to explain something here that's very important. Because all the disciples, all the apostles had one problem: faith by sight. Because the Holy Spirit did not dwell in them. They hadn't received it, and it did not dwell in them. So sight was important. Fear was much upon them. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I need evidence. 8 days later, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Again, peace be unto you. My peace I give you. Then saith he unto Thomas, reach hither in thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. What does Thomas do? There's one thing that says, be not faithless, but believing. What does Thomas actually do this? We really don't know. He may have. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. So he recognized him as Lord and God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. That's us. We are blessed. We have not seen the physical Christ, but we have seen the physical Christ in others. The world sees the physical Christ in others, and it's the bride of Christ. So what do they see? Do they see somebody that's going to lay down their life for their friends? Do they see somebody that is going to be confident that it is finished? Do they see somebody that is been sealed into the day of redemption? Did they see somebody that's glorifying their Savior through their actions? Do they see a person that is forgiving, merciful, and gracious? Do they see Christ? Do they see within the body of Christ, do you have accountable saints? Are they telling you the truth? In anybody's house here, I'm speaking to the bride, there's not one person that should have to be walking in and being on eggshells. It should be an open book. Anything goes. We can talk about anything. We can discuss anything because we're the bride. We're the bride of Christ. And we have a bridegroom that sustains and keeps, that convicts, and through his love constrains us to do what is right and refrain to do what's wrong. It's through his love. So we have the doubting Thomas, and all the other apostles doubted also. They all fled. They are all fearful. Thomas gets pointed out here. It's refreshing that Thomas is honest. I'm not going to believe until this happens. And Jesus gives him the opportunity to allow it to happen. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book. So he did many other signs and wonders, but they're not written in this book. Why is that? Because they have nothing to do with salvation. Absolutely nothing. Because if they had something to do with salvation, the canon of Scripture would not be complete. So when you hear evidence of something that is not in the canon of Scripture, it's not salvation-based. It has to be in the canon of Scripture. It has to be something that is truly God-breathed. So it's not written in this book because it's not necessary. And many other signs did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written. This is another verse, the 31st verse, that is very important. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. He's your Lord first and your Savior second. He lords over you. He controls you through love. He respects you through grace. He has mercy for you. He is the Christ, the Son of God, the only Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. What is the life through his name? You're going to have life on this earth where he will provide all your needs, anything that is necessary for you. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit never says, I will provide all your wants. I will provide what is necessary for you to thrive in the kingdom of God. And I will take away anything that is not necessary because I want you to thrive. And eternal life. What is eternal life? Chapter 17 of the High Priestly Prayer, verse 3. And this is life eternal. There's the equal sign. Life eternal equals that they may know thee, the only true God. Do you know the only true God? Have you read about him in the Scriptures? Do you understand what he's all about? Do you understand that he's holy, holy, holy? Do we understand that there is only one God? There's not many gods. Do we understand that God the Father loves us more than we can love ourselves or love anybody else? Do we understand that God the Father loves our children more than we could ever love our children? Do we understand that God is providing a bride for his son, his only son, Jesus Christ? Do we believe that he is the Son of God, whom thou hast sent? So what is eternal life? Is it going to heaven and living there forever? Yes. But that's not the emphasis. The emphasis here is, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. How do we possibly can know God the Father and Jesus the Son if we do not have the Holy Spirit? We cannot. The Holy Spirit provides everything for us. And the starting point happened in John chapter 20 when he says, and when he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now they are able to speak in any language and preach the good news, the great commission, that Jesus died and paid for our sins. And he rose again the third day, and he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty to one day judge the quick and the dead. Do we know God the Father? Do we know Jesus the Son? And do we know that his Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us and direct us because we are the bride? Do we understand this as a truth? Do we acknowledge our weakness? Do we die daily to ourselves? Our will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Do we have the will of the Father? Yes. What is the will of the Father? To believe on him who he has sent. Believe in Jesus, the work of the cross. And you will be sealed till the day of redemption. That is a promise. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for John, who penned these words through the influence of God the Father, Jesus the Son, by that Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for granting us this Holy Spirit, who seems to get very little fanfare, who seems to get very little recognition. But Father, we thank you for that Spirit, because without that Spirit, we would be unable to move in any direction. We thank you, Father, for giving it to us so that we can move mountains and remove strongholds, so that we can preach the word and it be heard in every language, all 7,000 of them, because that's how powerful it is, sharper than a two-edged sword. So we can speak truth in the bride, so we can hold the bride accountable and have the bride hold us accountable at a very young age. So we are not walking on eggshells, but we are walking on the foundation, the rock of Christ. So we are not offended lightly, but we are embraced by the love of Christ. So when a brother comes to us and speaks to us and tells us that didn't quite hit the mark, we say, I'm sorry. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I will do better. Father, we thank you for that Holy Spirit. We thank you for this church. We thank you for your Son. In Jesus' holy name, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus' name. Let's close with 152 and Doxology 666.